Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on our discussions of hearing God's voice, and we are now May the 1st.
I know. Happy May Day.
Happy May Day coming up. This is, the start of a very interesting month for us because we're getting ready to go to a leaders' retreats, working on all the details.
Excited for that, right?
I finished a new retreat. I've been working on it actually all year. It's kind of interesting how it went, but it's on intercessory prayer.
Oh, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, and it was quite enjoyable to dig into the deep part of it because partly as to, you know, think about what we've been, even the last couple of times we've been now in topics with the podcast, we talked about prayer. And remember, prayer is just dialogue with God.
Right.
So it's not, I give God a list, you know, here's my people that I'm praying for. I'm going to give you a list of what you should do for.
Right.
But it's entering into dialogue. And then, as we're working through this material, it's hearing God's voice, which is a big piece of intercessory prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest part of intercessory prayer is really joining God in what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's asking and waiting and listening and then praying what he is already moving in, right?
Yeah. So I, in the way that I process new material, which first of all has to be for me personally, you know, I've learned that the way that God moves us is to build what I call a jigsaw puzzle. There's pieces that you get, and you just say, you know, just leave it there. Yeah, you got that one. You see it. You got it in the right area, but don't try to connect the dots yet because you really can't, which, by the way, is contrary to the way I operate.
Right.
You know, give me two pieces of information. I'll connect it.
Right.
So I have to really work at that and just receive the pieces and let it lay and then, you know, get another piece. And so when I'm personally working through abiding material, I really just don't even try to. I just enjoy the pieces I'm getting. I do personalize it, and what does it mean, and, you know, how do I apply this myself personally? But I'm just building these pieces. And then at the end of it, and I'll usually have a couple of journals full of verses that I've done a lot of writing on, and then I'll start to go back, and then God said, "Okay, you're now ready for me to put the pieces together."
Right. So fun.
So in this case, I worked probably 3 or 4 months on material. I had 3 journals of material. And I can't find them.
Oh, you're kidding!
I couldn't find them. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they got pushed away somewhere or whatever. But I could not find them. Because I'm abiding, it's not a study. It's like, I've lost it. You know, and it's like, well, when I said, oh, well, that's an interesting father. What do you want me to do? He said, you have enough. Go back and take everything that you've learned.
Right.
And redo it. Yeah. But
the beauty is just even knowing, because along the way he did have you, he didn't have you connect the dots per se, but he had you internalize each part.
Yes.
And really learn it to the depths of what he was speaking.
Right.
And so then all he has to do is just a little prompt in your mind and it's right back, right?
Yeah. So I could go back to the the verses and walk through it all. And I knew all the breadth of it. Still didn't have the dots connected, but I went back through it again. Mm-hmm. Got some new stuff, which is interesting.
That's awesome.
And then once I did it again, it didn't take me long. I just had to be faithful at it. And this is where there's actually a scripture verse in John where Jesus tells his disciples, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that I've said.
Right.
And I got to kind of experience that firsthand.
Oh, I love that.
As God would talk to me and say, okay, remember, you have this. Go here, go there, and recreated it all. And then I get it all together. And then what I do is because I've got so much,
mm-hmm.
You know, for each, let's say, process of, you know, how he gives me kind of an outline of, okay, start here and go here and go here. Then I start filling in the different sections. Mm-hmm. And I might have, you know, 15 verses on one thing.
Right.
So I'll get them all down, and then I go back through it, and then God helps me say, nope, not that one, nope, not that one, nope, not what, this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun, and, you know, I finished it, you know, recently as it's all together. And then what I do is I leave it kind of lay for a couple of days, and then I come back to it, and,
right.
you know, did I miss something? And God mm-hmm. says, God, yeah, you kind of missed this.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's kind of cool. But it's going to be a really powerful retreat
right.
of how, because we're called. And I think this is interesting because as you abide, he does say the first thing I'm going to do. And actually, I had at this last retreat reunion, they made a statement. They said it seems like God is taking the issues of us personally.
Mm-hmm.
And moving us toward freedom on these issues. And he said,
right.
and they said, is that the first thing that happens? You know, and I said, yeah. I said, he's mm-hmm. got to get you to a place of freedom and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not that you make it, because we're going to be that way the rest of our life. But I'm gonna get you to a place where you have these basic things resolved. And then I'm going to start asking you to give it away. And intercessory prayer, interesting enough, is one of the biggest areas that we can give it away to.
Oh, I love that.
Because that engages us with other people.
Right.
To facilitate God working in their life. And
mm-hmm. so. I love what you're saying there, because I literally just gave a talk at Mom's Group yesterday, and one of the sections was on prayer and talking to them about how literally praying for your children is the most loving, self-sacrificing thing you can do for them.
Yep.
And when we're called to love others, it absolutely includes truly praying and interceding on their behalf. But
right.
but a lot of us do need to learn how to do this. And I love that God is laying this out for you too, just because I don't know what you guys are seeing in Colorado, but we are definitely seeing in New England. And you know, if anybody goes back and listens to our guest podcast from April 11th and April 18th, when we yeah. had Noelle Jones on here, and yeah. she talks about the House of Prayer, there is a huge prayer movement stirring in New England, and a lot of it comes around intercessory prayer. So I just love seeing God work in these themes of what He's doing in His children and through yeah. His church. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is cool. So we've been talking about hearing God's voice, and we've kind of get into the section of what we call practical issues. We've discussed the first one, which was, you know, what if we feel like we're not hearing His voice,
mm-hmm.
Particularly if we were. And we went through that in terms of how to return back. Mm-hmm. He's always speaking. The Holy Spirit is resonant within us, and He doesn't go silent. It's rather how do we reconnect.
Right.
And the reconnection is, again, surrender our will, go back to the word, go back to abiding, and just open up and say, I have a heart to hear, and He'll speak, and you'll get it back. And then we talked about what do we do with others around us where, you know, there's reaction, either skepticism or resistance or opposition. Negativity, and God says, well, you got to get them out of the room. Surround yourself, not, you know, and it's not about perfection. It's about just people that have a heart to seek God's will with you. And you'll process it in a healthy way, including, you know, you can be in disagreement or you can have differences of thought. And God said, that's okay. I'll get you there. Don't let other people move you away from, you know, God saying, let me speak, let me confirm. And we talked about that in terms of when we're helping others, we don't tell them, here's what you should do. Mm-hmm. But rather we say we can confirm what God is saying to you. And if you feel, you know, people say, well, I'm not sure what God is saying to me. I say, well, then let me help you get there and take some time with that so that you're confirmed. And then I can confirm that. And by the way, you'll be used to confirm other people. So it's kind of fun. And then we talked about conflict.
Right.
And we talked about Paul and the Pharisees that have a gigantic, so the sharp disagreement about circumcision. And they didn't know what to do with it because they couldn't resolve it together because they had such strong thoughts about it.
Right.
And we said, that's okay. The issue is don't let it steal your joy. And then two is get somebody else, which is what they did, to assist. And well, let's see what God would have to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
And are you both, with your disagreement, willing to hear what God has to say? And by the way, that's a condition. So if we're in sharp disagreement, but one of them says, I don't care what God says, this is my position.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what happened is I've gone back to the flesh. I've exited the kingdom. And now I'm debating in the flesh and I don't seek God's will. And God says that disagreement's okay. What isn't going to work is if you stay away from me and don't seek what I have to say.
Right. And I love, even when you're teaching the Abide Retreat, one of the things you always talk about is that whole idea that agreeing to disagree is actually a cop out.
Yeah.
And it's complete selfishness because you want to hold on to what you think, feel, and believe more than you want to chase after God's.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just not a place we can stay.
Yeah. We had a couple. And we get into the discussion of unity and agreement. Mm-hmm. And I make a statement that it's okay to disagree. I said, but, and we go to Ephesians 4, make every effort to come to an agreement with the Holy Spirit because you both have the same Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I said, therefore, you can get to an agreement 100% of the time, all the time. And why? Well, because if you have a heart to go, God will lead you. And he does it in such a beautiful, gentle, wonderful way that you can both have, you know, positions.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, let me walk you into where I'm going to take you if you have a heart to go, including your position might not be exactly, you know, what I have, but you got to have a desire to do that. But this one couple responded and said, well, I disagree with that. I said, how dare you? No. I said, okay. She said, yeah, we have a 10-year-old problem in our marriage, and we've agreed to disagree, and we don't talk about it. And because of it, that's the only way we can survive, because if we did, we're going to be in battle. And so we agree to disagree, and that way we're not in battle.
Right.
And I make a statement. I said, okay, I understand. I said, but because you're not willing to seek God's answer, which he has one, by the way, you're just two selfish people that aren't willing to follow God. And she got really mad at me. Nope, this is it. This is how it works. It's got to work this way. Everybody can disagree and everybody, you know, agree to disagree. And I said, well, there's an element of flesh involved there, of self. Because you're, let me help you understand it. You got a problem, okay. You disagree, okay. God has an answer for that.
Right.
You can trust it. And all you got to do is seek it. And you can do that in a healthy way. Nope, we can't. Okay, I said, okay, that's okay. No problem. So we, you know, we go through Saturday, we go through Sunday, we have our exercise of hearing God's voice. And they go off and do this wonderful thing that God gave us. And it's remarkable. It's always, by the way, Kathy, still awe-inspiring
Yeah. Which is amazing when you think about you and Linda have been doing these retreats for what, 20 plus years now?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Dan and I for, I don't know, 7 years or so. And everyone were just floored by amazing how God speaks, right? Yeah. And how personally.
It was like, oh my gosh, you know. and so then this, we start, you know, we come back, they have to do this exercise, come back. And what did God say? And then we help interpret it. Well, we start to go around the room, and this one lady says, hey, before we go any further, I'd just like to say that this was a complete waste of time. And you can't hear God's voice.
She was a little bit of a pill, huh?
She was, yeah. and I just disagree with this whole thing. I said, I appreciate it. I can appreciate your position. I said, that's okay. I said, did you do the work? She said, yeah. I said, okay. Would it be okay if the other shared what they felt God said to them? Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, okay. So they start doing it. And they're, as you know, it's remarkable.
Right.
Because it's like, oh my gosh, look at this. And they all are excited. And it didn't really impact their review of it. So it comes back around to her. She was probably like the fourth or fifth couple. And she says, well, I got nothing. I said, okay. I said, did you do the work? Yeah. Well, why don't you just read the verses? Let's just see what he said. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she starts reading the verse, and she reads the first one. And I said, okay, that's cool. And now read the second one. Mm-hmm. She reads the second one, and she starts crying. Mm-hmm. I'm talking weeping, bawling, crying. And her husband's sitting next to her. And she says, oh, my gosh. That's the answer to our 10-year-old problem.
I love that.
And her husband,
love that.
Her husband said, it is. It is. Oh, my gosh, it is. And she just wept and cried. And she said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry how stubborn I was. Oh, my gosh. We just got released from this problem.
That's amazing.
And it was.
Don't you love that? And getting to have a front row seat to it.
Yeah, it was remarkable, you know. And then they, you know, we processed it with them later. And then they learned to receive it and get into abiding. And they teach others to abide. And it's this beautiful thing that we're trying to help everybody understand. And we want everybody to experience it. Is if you abide and hear his voice, walk with him. Mm-hmm. He's going to lead you to a spectacular life, and he is so powerful, but so personal, mm-hmm. And kind and desiring to bring us to freedom, that, everybody can have that. So that's why disagreements, and I'm glad you brought it out, is that it's really not healthy to say, well, we agree to disagree. It's
right.
It's okay to disagree. And to say we don't agree, that's okay. What Linda and I say is that we don't just yet know God's will.
Right.
And
what a game changer that posture is, even in your relationship, your ability to go throughout the day, still enjoy all of those things, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the beautiful thing of it is that you don't say to your spouse or to your friend, well, why don't you agree with me so we can get on with this? Rather, mm-hmm. it's... Actually, Linda, I want you to maintain your position, mm-hmm. but let's go seek God together and we'll see the answer. And when the answer comes, we'll both be able to receive it. And if it's different than what I thought, I'm more than happy to change my position on it. Why? Because it's God's will.
Right, right.
Which is best and then better. So he actually tells us, we're talking about dealing with other people here. Let's go to John, 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. He does tell us something interesting about this process.
Sure. 1 John 4, 1 to 6 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Okay. So you know, let's connect verse 1 with verse 6.
Okay.
It says do not what in verse 1.
Do not believe every spirit,
but test the spirits whether they are of God.
Mm-hmm.
So test the processing with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is this of God or not? And he says in verse 6, he says, we'll know
mm-hmm.
the truth or error.
Right.
Okay. So if we have a heart to know truth, which, by the way, truth is what's going to lead us to God's will,
mm-hmm.
And particularly when we're trying to understand God's will, we're trying to hear God's voice, and the people around us, which could be my spouse, could be our family, could be inner circle, they don't really, at the moment, agree with you.
Right.
God says when that's true, he says one of your actions would be to test it out.
Mm-hmm.
Is what this person's saying is what the process here, is it of you or it isn't? And what he's trying to do there is to have you not engage in what he calls, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, don't engage in foolish disputes.
Okay,
what would be a foolish dispute would be that you wind up engaging in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, well, when you're engaged in that, you're not in the kingdom.
Right.
And it isn't, the whole thing isn't of me, because you've gone away from seeking what I have to say to you. And now you're trying to determine yourself. And if that other side, including you, is in error, it's because you're doing it in the flesh, in the self, mm-hmm. not in the spirit. So test it. Okay, so couple cool ways to test. Number one is, well, let's go to the Word.
Right.
And process. You're saying something here. I believe that God has already spoken about this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go, you know, pursue it. Working with a real estate developer, and he was talking about investment and moving into the next project. And he was saying, I have some concern about the requirement of the development company. I said, what's your concern? He said, well, they're asking me to sign personally on the loan.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how do you feel about that? He says, well, I'm not sure. I feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you know?
So he had a bit of a check in the spirit,
yeah.
too.
I said, do you know why you feel uncomfortable? No. I said, because God's already spoken about this.
Mm.
So let's go there. We'll go to the Word. He says very clearly, no, do not sign personally on loans. You know, it talks about surety. Don't put up surety and risk your assets for a project. And personally, by the way, I can vouch for it, because that's what happened to me when I went bankrupt. Is that
right?
That's one of the things that I failed at is that people were even talking to me and I rejected it. I just said, well, let's go look at what God has to say at that moment. If he says, okay, I'm going to pursue that.
Right.
Okay. Think about it. I can verify, confirm you are now in walking with God.
Right.
And if you seek it, you'll get your answer. If he says, I don't care.
Right.
I'm going to go do it anyway, because. Well, if I'm testing the spirit and truth and error, I already know something. Wait a minute. What you're doing is not of God, because it's not passing the test.
Right.
I would urge you to reconsider.
So now, that first test you're talking about is really just aligning with Scripture.
Yeah, just aligning with Scripture.
A first easy test, right?
And things that we know. And then as we process truth, He'll give you a checking in your spirit, or say you're not quite there yet, and see if it's of God. It's the walking with God, knowing that we'll get there. So, you know, if Linda and I are in disagreement, my test isn't, well, you disagree and it doesn't align with mine, and so you've got to be in error.
Right.
No, it's about the spirit of it. See, he talks about the spirit of it. It's that, do you have a heart to keep going? If either one of us, like, and we have this interesting question that we ask, are you neutral?
Right.
If the answer is no, okay, well then why don't you spend time going to neutrality? I'm willing to surrender my will to yours. Now, if one of us said, no, I'm not neutral and I don't care. Well, then Linda could test the spirit and say, well, just that alone means that you're not pursuing God. And we're gonna have a difficult time here.
Right.
Because God's got to bring us the answer, not us. And we got to help each other get to neutrality. Now, because we know that God's will is best and none better, we're not afraid when we say, no, I'm not really neutral. And Linda would say, well, then you need to spend some time going to neutral.
Yeah. Okay. Can I highlight what you just said there? It's not that I automatically just say I'm in neutral. You need to be authentic in that. There are times when you're not.
Right.
and that's okay too. It's not okay to stay there. That's okay, God, I've got to bring this to you and surrender it, and I need you to help me surrender it. So there's a heart process that goes even into the going to neutral and admitting that you're not, because there may be something he's revealing to you that is keeping you from the ability to go to neutral on it. Right.
Right. Yeah. So we'll pick this up, next Monday, I think, now on the, March the 6th, I believe. And we'll pick this up further, but, this is really significant to keep as we're hearing from God's voice. Is there's going to be a lot of dynamic to it, because it purposely involves other people.
Right.
Which is a good thing, but it can become a troublesome thing if we're in conflict. And the conflict is because we're not willing to test the spirit and keep going with God to know truth versus error. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful thing that you say to test it, and that we'll know the difference between truth and error. And are we on the path of truth, or are we being misled? And your heart is to bring us to truth, because that's where your will is fulfilled. And so we just pray that we'll have that heart, we'll experience it, we'll know that your will is best and none better. Disagreement's okay, but we just need to walk with you so that we move into the truth and not into error. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. As always, a pleasure to get to just glean from the wisdom that you have. And thank you for joining us listening today, guys. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.